Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
God. The only radio show in the history of talk radio. Three hours a night we go without a phone call. Why? Because I can do it, that's why. And number two, I got a call screening computer that doesn't work. So fix it. I don't care who, I don't care how, I don't care when. Get somebody in here to fix it, okay? Do you understand? I got to go on the air and talk about it. Like a whole week and a half, man, I don't have a call screening computer that works. Good God! Don't you get embarrassed?
Well, that's going to get it fixed real fast.
Well, no, you're probably right. It probably won't. Because it's all very petty, you know. It's all who's making the demand. Well, we'll just see. Well, I got news for you, man. No, we won't just see. Either fix it, because I can scream just as loud as anybody, man. I can scream louder than Steve Bozell when he found out that Disney is open 24 hours.
Yeah, you probably go all woo.
No, I ain't going to go woo.
Why are you going to scream?
What do you mean, how am I going to scream? It's a figure of speech, okay?
Well, when you say you're going to scream, it sounds like you're going to go, oh, my computer doesn't work.
Okay, you go ahead and laugh.
Oh, my computer doesn't work.
Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and make a big joke out of it if you want to.
Hey, Mr. Renner, you Phil TV. You're looking at the back of your bald head.
I don't care. Let him look at the back of my bald head. Here, now there's my ugly mug. You think that's any better? A lot of people say they'd rather look at the back of me than the front of me as I'm doing the show because they like the illusion of looking at...
What, your ass?
Boy, you're really entertaining them tonight, Margaret, aren't you?
Well, somebody's got to.
Oh, man, that hurts too. Man, that's a couple of zingers right there.
Yeah, don't... Look, Phil, if you want to eat with the big dogs...
Yeah, okay, Your Majesty. I'm sorry. I should have known.
You got it.
Anyway, welcome back here, folks, to our final hour here, this Friday night show. Again, we will have our Saturday night movie tonight on Phil TV and HD. I don't know what it is, man. What is it, bud?
Yeah, it's probably going to be the ghoul, or the ghoul from the pit.
The ghoul or the ghoul from the pit?
Yeah.
What the hell? Are those movies?
Yeah.
When why are you deciding between one or the other?
Whether we want to have the ghoul or the ghoul from the pit.
Well, which one is better?
I don't know.
Have you seen them?
Uh-uh.
Well, why don't you watch them and find out, man? Or do you want me to watch? I can't be sitting here programming those Saturday night movies. I leave that to you and Robert. So far, they've been pretty good, although that brain that wouldn't die, that really bothered me.
Well, man, I don't know they cut all that good stuff out. All I know, the brain that wouldn't die.
Yeah, the brain that wouldn't die got the guy that gets the arm ripped off.
Yeah, well, not in the version you guys showed. That version you showed last Saturday night did not have the guy getting his arm ripped off by the thing
the thing in the closet.
The thing in the closet. I used to think it was the vault, but it was actually the closet.
Yeah, it's like a closet where you keep a vacuum cleaner.
What the hell is with this? There's some kind of a mad scientist. He's a mad scientist by way of like San Bernardino or something. So they don't have vaults; they've got closets. Where they keep vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. The thing in the closet.
The thing in the closet. Well, anyway, the edited version that you guys played, I don't think anybody cared. I think people probably dug it. And what's with these sex shows?
That is a little disgusting. I saw the one last week called Dr. Sex, and I was a little bit offended.
Well, what they are is, what are they, bud?
They're old stag movies. You kidding me? Can't a guy sit back and pop a beer and watch a nudie cutie?
Yeah, all he is a nudie cutie.
What do you mean, nudie cutie?
These are old movies. They're from the early 60s. They're like, they're what passed for porn in the early 60s. They were like the movies that they showed in those movie houses. And these two knuckleheads have found a stash of them. Dr. Sex. That was the most boring, except when that girl started dancing.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Was she doing like a belly dance?
Well, I found it a little offensive she took her top off, although she was... I didn't know...
Well, you knew women had large breasts before they had breast implants.
Yes, I did, but I didn't know they were that firm. Forgive me.
Well, in any event, so that was the best part of that movie, but the rest of it was a real dull thing. And what was with that dog? This movie, folks, if you didn't see it, Dr. Sex... And again, it's a film, and I mean, not a mainstream thing. They probably showed it at the downtown theaters, and it had a lot of nudity in it. Today, it would be extremely. It's very, very tame. And of course, they had to have a plot line of some kind, or it had to be a satire. It had to be a documentary. There had to be. It could not be just strictly to look at nude women. You had to be able to say that you were satirizing. And even in this movie, Dr. Sex, they said, this is a satire. You know, it's kind of like those Twitter accounts that have nothing to do with satire, but because some knucklehead said, this is a satire, then Twitter can go ahead and allow them to have whatever account they've got. But, so this Dr. Sex, he's talking to his colleague, some load of crap, and then this one doctor thinks he's a poodle. So that gives them the excuse to show a girl undressing and getting into a bathtub. Why? Because the guy that thinks he's a poodle, he's actually a poodle. And he's in the bedroom watching this girl get undressed, and she discovers him, and she picks him up, and he's a poodle.
Well, how can he really be a poodle?
Well, you don't know it until the end of the movie when the guy does turn into a poodle and wanders into this party that Dr. Sex is having with these women that are dancing around naked. I didn't understand it. The best part of the movie, the absolute best part of the movie, was this whole belly dance that this blonde chick did. She was gorgeous, man.
Yeah, that's best bit. The better one was the Diary of Nudity.
Yeah, the Diary of Nudity?
No, it was Diary of a Nudist. I watched that, and that was also disgusting.
Well, wait a minute. Why would you call that disgusting?
Well, you could tell the only reason why they had that film was to look at the women. And the camera angles were very suggestive. In other words, they had a girl laying on her stomach on one of those floating rafts.
Right.
And the guy gets in the water and turns her butt toward the camera. Give me a break.
Well, it was just kind of a nonchalant move.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But, I mean, you're right. I mean, everything, Diary of a Nudist, so that's another one. They could get away with it by calling it a documentary on nudist camps, right? And it's an expose. And so they go into the only person there that looked like a real nudist was the woman that ran the camp, and she was about 50-something, and she wore a robe everywhere, thank God.
Well, that's very sexist.
Why?
Why can't she be nude?
She can be nude, okay, but obviously everybody that was nude there was really hot, you know, I mean, the women were anyway.
Yeah, they had one girl, her butt was pretty nice.
Thank you, bud. In any event, so you guys got one of those coming up?
Yeah, we'll try and find another one. I think there's one called Nude Attack or something.
Yeah, Nude Attack. They had another one.
Nude Attack?
Yeah. Attack in the Nude?
Yeah, Attack in the Nude.
Attack in the Nude. It's a satire on World War II.
A satire on World War II?
And it's called what?
Attack. I think it's called Attack in the Nude.
Attack in the Nude?
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that, but of course, why would I hear of it? All right. So anyway, the Saturday night movie tonight at 8 o'clock here on Phil TV. We're going to be right back with more of our news here on the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Don't forget a backstage pass to our website, getting you full access to our website. We're going to start our trial program very, very shortly. That means we'll be allowing people to have free trials of the website, take a look, take a cruise, take a look around, as well as our affiliates program, which means you BSPs out there, you can earn cash and prizes. Well, no, not that, but you can get some like little bonuses and like free weeks and free months and free, you know, a free life for directing your friends to philhenryshow.com. All right, back with more right here at philhenryshow.com and Phil TV and The Phil Henry Show. Now,
truth
getting
is
back
our
to
Nude
bitch. Attack.
The yeah, Phil Henry Attack Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, you know,
well, hold on for a minute. Now, you know, and welcome back, folks. Excuse me. Welcome back, folks, to the Phil Henry Show.
What's wrong with you? Good Lord.
I got something caught in my throat.
By the way, are you going to tell us about the animation meetings that you took today?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because it's nobody's business but mine. That's why I'm not going to talk about any of that stuff until we actually have something to announce, okay? I'm tired of announcing stuff and then kind of having to half-ass it and then announcing stuff and having to half-ass it. You know, we'll announce when we announce.
But you had very positive feedback.
I'm not going to say anything.
Phil, I'm a journalist and I need the story. I must know the story. Now, you know that when Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, did they have a baby? I forget.
Well, you're the reporter.
Yeah, you ought to know.
Well, I forgot.
You're the one that was talking about how Brad Pitt should not be a father because his career is going great guns, and if he has a kid, he's going to wind up getting angry because the kid's going to slow his career down, and you're going to wind up seeing him pitching a baby out on a PCH.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did say that.
What I meant to say was it's too much pressure, and figuratively, your mind's eye will see an infant fly out of a car. I didn't mean it literally.
Your mind's eye will see an infant fly. Well,
yes. So the point that I'm trying to make here, let's get off of Brad Pitt for a moment, okay? If Jennifer Aniston can get off of him, you can.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful material. That is how.
Watch it. Yes?
I demand to know what was in that meeting today that...
I'm not telling you, Margaret. Forget it ain't going to happen, so just...
Don't worry, I'll find out.
Yeah, you go ahead and you keep nosing around. You're going to find it out from me. Okay, so here is a movie. Now, in the early 1930s, why don't you do a story about this? The Motion Picture Production Code, which was in place in the 30s. This meant that there was a certain code that filmmakers willingly went along with so that there would be a standard of decency and morality in movies. Now, if you wanted to make movies that got around that code, then there were things you could do. And one of the things that you could do was to make a documentary in much the same manner that we were talking about these early 60s films. Well, you could do a documentary on a nudist camp. So as long as it seemed like it was educational, which, of course, there was no intent on the part of the filmmakers to truly be educational. The filmmakers wanted to make sexploitation, and they had sexploitation in the 30s. They just had a tougher time making them because of this motion picture production code. So along comes a movie. Did you guys already show this?
Yeah, we showed Sex Madness. That was really bad, except they did have a lesbianisms.
What did he say?
They had lesbianism.
Yeah, they had like a lady in this movie, and she was dressed up like a lady. Then they had another lady in the movie, and she was dressed like a lady too.
Only with dark-colored Mother Goose shoes.
Yeah.
Dark-colored Mother Goose shoes.
Well, which one was the lesbian?
Well, three guesses.
Yeah, the Mother Goose.
Why would the mother... I don't understand these idiots.
All right, hold on for a minute. So you're saying one woman was dressed a little more, what, authoritatively?
Yeah, yeah, she looked like she was older and more, like, butched up.
Yeah, looked butch.
Okay, well then just say it. All right, so that's what passed for the lesbian reference in Sex Madness. Here's how the film is described. A chorus girl's... this is a typical sex exploitation film from the early 1930s, complete with wild parties, sex out of wedlock, lesbianism, etc. A chorus girl's exposure to the casting couch also exposes her to syphilis. Exploitation filmmakers hope to capitalize on the taboo subjects of venereal disease, sex before marriage, lesbianism, etc., while skirting, what, Margaret?
Well, what was it called? Lesbianism, etc.? That's the second time you've said that.
That's just the bad writing on the part of the individual who wrote this. While skirting the motion picture production code of the 1930s, which forbade a film from containing such content. How did they do it? They made it into a sort of documentary. And that's how they did that. So you guys showed this. I think I saw it. It was weird, man.
Yeah, well, they had like a sex party, you know, and they never did have no sex, though.
Yeah, but they had, I remember seeing the girl, she comes from the goofy stuff like this. This girl has venereal disease, so they send her out of town to some hospital where she gets treated, and she comes back into town. And she has to break it to her boyfriend-to-be that she has syphilis or something. See, back then, syphilis was really, really dangerous because they didn't have antibiotics. They didn't develop antibiotics until the 40s. Before that, I don't know how they treated it, but it was potentially deadly. If not, it was deadly, and it could also create this neurosyphilitic madness, this dementia.
Well, weren't you saying it was something that John List's wife... It's very gruesome. It's just ghoulish, the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's weird. So so in those days, it became the subject of, you know, it was very serious. And this girl comes back from being at the old folks' syphilis home or whatever the hell, you know.
You know, like our old folks, they have a place where they sense ladies with syphilis.
They had places where you went to get treated. She comes back, and there's her boyfriend, and she's got to break the news, honey, I have syphilis. And now this guy finds out that his girlfriend, far from being this sweet, you know, angelic, virginal chick he's going to marry, this girl has got syphilis because she's been on the casting couches of Hollywood. Just really crazy stuff like that. And then the flick winds up. Did you see how it ended?
Yeah, it ends up. There's a guy giving a speech about how he's glad he doesn't have syphilis.
Well, that's not what it was.
What kind of a speech is that?
Yeah, the guy's all, yeah. And another thing, I'm glad that the people today, they know about syphilis.
That's what he did, man.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes, and I'm very happy that I don't have no syphilis.
Yeah, yeah. Then the guy gives up. And then another guy gets up, and he's all, yeah, yeah, and like that, you know.
Yeah, and then a guy goes like this. He goes, I'm glad that I don't have syphilis.
Wait, you guys are repeating yourselves. Are you aware of that?
These idiots don't know what they're saying.
I'm the one who seen it. Did you see it?
Well, the way you're describing it, I'm glad I didn't see it. Why don't you be a little more coherent?
Bud, you're repeating yourself.
What?
You're giving me the guy giving the speech, I'm glad I don't have syphilis.
Yeah, yeah, but then he goes, and with more work from the parents and the cops, then we won't have the drip no more.
Yeah, man, you don't see this, the funniest thing you ever saw.
Yeah, and then they say, you know, band together and get rid of the drip.
I'm gonna punch him.
Hey, hey.
What do you mean, get rid of the drip?
That's what they're basically saying.
Well, did they say it, or were they basically saying it?
Well, they're basically saying it, but I mean, the guy's all standing trying to pretend like he's all, you know, cares about it, and all that was once was sexploitation.
Yeah, that's the part of the movie where they, you know, Margaret, that's the part of the movie where they can say, look, see, we're being educational, because the guy gave a big speech, and it took up, like, it was the most boring 5 minutes of this stupid thing, and then some guy gets up and, yes, thank you, son, for giving the speech.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then an old guy gets up and, yeah, I'm glad that we have the anti-drip forces in you know, the anti-drip forces.
Yeah, man, that'll come out with a movie called Anti-Drip.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be perfect. Be like a science fiction.
Okay. So there you go.
You know what, Phil? You've got these two knuckleheads picking movies. You deserve everything you get.
So far, people like the movies they're picking. All right, so anyway, thank you very much, guys. That was really exciting.
God.
Phil Henry Show, that'll be tonight. Next week, we are going to be, as I mentioned, on vacation, but we're going to have five new classic podcasts. Every day on our website, we are dropping new classic podcasts for our Backstage Pass members, and these are selections from our archives. We started doing this almost a year ago, and we made these available to everybody for free. Only within the last month have we put all of it behind a paywall, and it is for BSPs only. The other thing that we're going to be doing here in the next month or so is we're going to start up a live radio feature on our website. So if you are a Backstage Pass member, you can go online, you can go into the website and listen to a 24-hour stream of one of our shows or more of our shows. It'll be a radio feature that we're going to make available to people that are subscribing. So sometimes, you know, just going into the archives and digging up different things, there's so much there, you know, as I said, close to 5,000 hours, you don't even know where to begin. On certain days, you may just want to push a button and listen to something from our archives, and that's what we're going to do and make available to you at philhenryshow.com with a Backstage Pass, a month, 6 months, a year. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And, of course, we have our Daily Show podcast. We have our videocast. We have a videocast archive. We've got webisodes. We've got the Milwaukee Lions. We have a lot of miscellany, including TV pilots, TV interviews, television interviews, radio interviews. And
what's the difference between a TV and a television interview?
Same thing. So visit us soon at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. All right, we're going to come back here with the final half hour of the show. And as I mentioned, gone next week, starting on Monday for a week's worth of vacation. We're going to update you on our website with a daily video update So make sure you hit our homepage at least once a day for our video update as well. Phil. Now, that's a phone number that we have here, but unfortunately, we don't have any call screening computer right now, and we'll endeavor to get that fixed, probably in the next... Oh, wait a second. Well, it should get fixed within the next couple of months. I think that's about right, huh?
Phil, watch it.
No, what do you mean, watch it? My whole life, I've been on the radio, and I've commented legitimately about all manner of things regarding radio show production and technical things. It's been a long-standing thing to give crap to the engineer if he doesn't do his job. So why should this be any different? You know, get the internet fixed here, man. Get the call screening computer fixed. Let's go.
Well, you didn't do that at the other company.
Don't worry about it. Oh, God. All right. Recapping tonight, folks, we had a little bit of sad news. George Jones has passed on. If you don't know who George Jones is, well, he was a great country singer. You know, country music is one of those things that's gone through a very interesting evolution in our country. It's music that is embraced and loved by large numbers of people. It also has been music that has been lampooned and sort of laughed at by certain people who think they're too sophisticated for it, or certain people who think it's a little hayseed or hillbilly. And I think that perhaps we've grown out of that. There's all kinds of music, and obviously all kinds of music that people like. And I grew up with rock and roll and rhythm and blues, but even I find certain country music to be great to listen to.
Yeah, you're a bluegrass fan.
I am a bluegrass fan. Now, why it is I'm more into bluegrass than straight country music, I don't know. Maybe it's because bluegrass is more is identified more with folk music.
Well, what is bluegrass music? What does that mean?
Bluegrass music is like, bluegrass is Kentucky. So I suppose you can say that it's mountain people music, you know?
Yeah, like the hillbilly.
Sort of like hillbilly music. But, you know, bluegrass has, the instrumentation is slightly different. There's a stand-up bass, the acoustic bass. There is the mandolin. Bluegrass tends to rely more on banjo, whereas country music doesn't. Country music is straight ahead. Country music is straight ahead guitars and steel guitars.
What's that one instrument that goes? What?
What were you trying to do?
You know the one? Oh, I know. It's the it goes. You know that one, Phil?
You guys are mental, man.
No, you know the one.
You're talking about a steel guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's when it goes... Doo, 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 doo.
Yeah, we listened to that the other night.
Yeah, it's a steel guitar. Jesus.
Well, what do you mean a steel guitar? I don't understand.
The thing, the sit-down thing, you know.
The what?
The sit-down thing, man. I don't know what you call it. You sit at it.
Is that the instrument... Forgive me for saying this. That's the instrument where the guy looks like he's... Knitting or working a sewing machine?
Working a sewing machine.
Sort of, because he's sitting there and then he looks up and grins.
Yeah, I said to Frank, I was watching a country show, and I said, who's the man that looks like he's working for Goodwill Industries, like he's building something?
Goodwill Industries?
Phil, you know what I'm talking about.
If you're talking about a steel guitar player, and that's the only thing I can think of, they tend to look like they're playing a steel guitar because they're sitting at it and they're playing it.
Yes, but then they look at you with a leer, almost as if they're not quite in this world.
And that's what you call a guy that looks like he's working for Goodwill. Steel guitar player is looking at the camera and he's smiling. Country musicians tend to be very formal and they'll look at the camera and smile, you know, something that musicians hardly do anymore. So I sort of, you know, appreciate that from country artists. They play their instrument and they make eye contact with the audience and smile at them. I hope you're enjoying it. It's very traditional. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, you call it smiling. To me, it looks a little dimwit.
See, this is what I'm talking about right here.
Yeah, you're talking about... Mr. Henry was just talking about that.
Talking about... What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that you're making fun of these guys, okay? Dimwit.
I'm not making fun of the music. I'm talking about the guy that plays the steel guitar.
And to you, when the guy looks up and smiles at the camera, he looks like a dimwit, like he's working for Goodwill Industries. And I think that that's a very unfortunate thing to say.
All right, I'm sorry, but there's something about that instrument that brings out the dim bulb, that's all.
Well, I think that's unfair to say bring out a dim bulb.
You know who sounds like a dim bulb right now? You three, with this conversation.
What is that supposed to mean?
Exactly what I just said.
Spit it out.
Exactly what I just said.
Come on, you can be honest.
Yeah, be honest.
I'm being honest! You three sound like dim bulbs! Talking about a guy playing steel guitar, he looks like a dim bulb, like he's working for... You know, I'm just talking about this traditional instruments that were used in both country music and in bluegrass. You asked me what distinguishes bluegrass music. I'm telling you, it's more the instrumentation. It's very acoustic. They use a stand-up bass. They use the mandolin. They use the banjo a lot. And the six-string guitar, obviously. Violin, although they do use the fiddle, as they call it in the country circles, they do use fiddle in country music, so those two genres have that. And I would say that bluegrass music is like I say, it's more acoustic. It you don't hear electrified bluegrass bands. It's more rural. You don't hear people singing bluegrass songs about life in the city. It's generally about a broken heart. And about a small town boy who's gone off into the world. And what was that one song we were listening to, Robert?
Yeah, I'm a man of constant sorrow.
A man of constant sorrow. Now, that's a classic bluegrass song. That's the one that Union Station did.
It's called A Man of Constant what?
Man of Constant Sorrow. And it's about a bluegrass song.
What do you mean it's about a bluegrass song?
It is a bluegrass song, is what he meant to say.
Yeah.
And it's a bluegrass song about...
A man of constant sorrow.
A man of constant, yeah. It's a guy that's singing a song about he misses his home and he's gone off into the world and he hasn't got a friend and everybody hates him.
Well, what has he got, gonorrhea?
Yeah, man, it's probably that sexploitation movie, too.
I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, you just love to take a very sacred topic and turn it into garbage, don't you?
Oh, give me a break. Are you trying to tell me that bluegrass music in your world is sacred?
I'm just trying to give a serious dissertation here. Not serious, but something approaching it about bluegrass music. Now, here is this song. I was just mentioning Alison Krauss and Union Station, and this is Dan Comiskey singing, and it's live, and it's in Kentucky. And here's this, a bluegrass song here.
Oh, this cornball, yeah.
Oh, now you get it. There you go.
Sorrow. I've seen trouble all
but
my
who are all the people whooping it up?
Hold on.
I bid farewell to old Kentucky, a place where I
oh, God.
What do you mean, oh, God?
Well, you can hear the hillbillies. See, whenever they mention their home state, the hillbilly comes out, doesn't it?
He's in Kentucky. The band is in Kentucky right now.
Right now?
No, in the song.
Yeah, I noticed that with especially this music, if they say, and I was in Kentucky, and all of a sudden, my God, you'd swear, a thousand pairs of overalls. Just...
1,000 squirrel guns.
Boy, you guys, you think you're so hip and cool, you know? Turn it down, Robert. You think you're so hip and cool, don't you?
Well, Phil, who isn't compared to this stuff?
Let me tell you something. Hip and cool is defined by how rare and how inside the people are that are supposedly hip and cool. And if you are rejecting this music, I would submit that this music is hipper and cooler than you.
Say that again.
In other words,
hip and cool.
Yeah, the hip and the cool.
The minority of people.
Are a minority of people.
And therefore they're not hip.
And therefore they're not...
What? See what I mean, Phil? You are so immersed in hillbilly music that you've gone billy.
Yeah, you're pretty easily manipulated like a billy.
I ain't manipulated. I'm trying to explain it to her so she understands it.
Don't stick your thumb at me and refer to me in the... Phil, bluegrass music is fine, as far as it goes. But I think you immersing yourself in it is slowly but surely taking your mind... I think your mind is coming undone.
Yeah.
Don't give me this yeah. And why is that?
I think you have sympathies for things that are coarse, rough, foul-smelling.
You're a lot like a hillbilly.
Oh, will you knock it off? You know what your problem is, Margaret?
No, tell me. What's my problem, Phil?
Your problem is you're too scared. You're too scared to embrace those things that are rough and that are coarse and that are raw and that are roots to this country. You're like a lot of people. You want to pretend like you're... that's why I listen to a lot of that Southern Baptist music. That's not Southern Baptist. That Southern gospel music that you're always putting down.
You're not even a Christian.
I don't give a damn. It's not anything about being a Christian. To me, it's like folk music.
You ever saw those guys go...
That stuff is cornball.
Hey, you guys can call it cornball. To me, it's folk music, and I'm a big folk music fan. Anything that has to do... with the roots and the history and the beginnings and the development of this country, I'm a big fan of. I want to learn more about it. I wish most Americans were like that.
In other words, you wish most people were like you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What an ego.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you guys.
All you guys know how to do is put me down, but I'm telling you, that is where I'm coming from. That is where my heart is. Ow. Don't do that, bud.
You're doing it to yourself.
You go poke me in the chest.
Ow. Ow.
You idiots.
We'll be right back, folks. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Ow, that hurt.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, I'm talking to the guys here during the break. Music is I'm not a musician, but I like to study things that have to do with that have an interesting story. Let's just put it that way. And music has got a fantastic story. American music has an incredible story. North American music. For instance, we're talking about bluegrass.
Yeah, what's jug band?
Hold on, bud, okay?
Well, you're going to have to answer this, Phil. You did a real good dance around country and bluegrass. But now here comes your thesis. Jug band. I've got money that says you don't know jug band music from your Aunt Mary.
Is that right? Well, I don't have an Aunt Mary.
That's what I'm saying.
No, Margaret.
You don't know jug band music from your Aunt Mary.
Did I just hear her say that?
Bud, don't copy me.
Well...
Let me tell you, I know. Here's what I'm going to say to you on that: jug band music, and bluegrass music, and country music. All three of these are related in that they are roots music. From these three forms of music have sprung things like rockabilly, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, jazz, and so forth. Texas swing comes from country music, and Texas swing music is country fused with a kind of jazz or dance band rhythm. Texas swing, like Bob Wills and the Playboys, Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, they had fiddle music. They had a swing kind of sound, like Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen. They did the same thing.
Wait, who?
Margaret, I'm not going to explain it, okay? Commander Cody, they did a lot of that. Asleep at the Wheel is another example of a kind of a Texas swing band. You also then have these little offshoots like Zydeco music, which is the Cajun music in the South. You have the West Texas, that Eastern European influence of the accordion that the Mexican troubadours adopted. That's all from Eastern Europe. You see all these mariachi groups that have accordions and they have trumpet, they have tubas. That comes from the polka music that was played by the Eastern European farmers that settled in West Texas. These are all really interesting things to know about music. But I would say that those are not roots. That's not what I call roots music. The roots music is the bluegrass, the country music, and maybe to a point jug band. Because jug band music is a music that comes from a tradition in America called the kitchen party. And it's in Canada, too.
Now, the kitchen party, what is that? They cut cubes of cheese and someone gets cold cuts? Well,
Margaret, you ain't even funny now, okay?
You ain't even...
Just kitchen parties are a tradition in America and in Canada, and it's when literally people go to somebody's kitchen, somebody's got a jug, someone's got some booze, someone's got some food, and people get together with their guitars, their banjos, etc., and they make this music. And the jug came into being as a part of these bands because guess what? Once they got done drinking the booze, let's start blowing on the jug, you know.
Blowing on the jug?
Yeah, they make a music like a boop, 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 like kind of like that.
That the same as a kazoo?
No, that's not the same as a kazoo. A kazoo was actually made with tissue paper and a comb. Look, that, I don't want to explain all this crap. All I'm telling you is the jug, from what I read, comes from these kitchen parties. All right, so there you get your jug band, and you also have the washboard. Guess why? Because the kitchen is near where you do the wash, so somebody's grabbing a washboard. And jug band music came out of these kitchen parties. And it was just a neighborly thing where people would say, hey, I got a guitar, and so-and-so has got some food, and let's go, especially in cold weather climates like Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, a lot of kitchen parties happening up there because it's cold outside, it's snowing, people are getting together back in the day. Nowadays, we get together and eat a covered dish or something and watch a ball game. Back then, everybody got in the kitchen and started playing the instruments. You'd start blowing on the jug once the booze was gone, and you'd whip out the washboard. These are all instruments used in jug band music. Today, if you go see any kind of a jug band, you're going to see a jug, and you're going to see a washboard, and you're going to see these things, and even a gut bucket.
Now, what in the name of God is a gut bucket? Don't tell me. Is it cat gut?
No. Gut bucket is an improvised bass string guitar, or bass fiddle. It's really just a stick with a piece of clothesline connected to an upturned wash basin.
What's with all these washing machine things?
I'm trying to tell you, you moron. If you're having a kitchen party and you're playing music, you grab stuff to make the music with. You're grabbing a washboard. You're grabbing the old wash tubs that they have. You turn it upside down. You put a piece of string in it so it makes a kind of a bass sound with this, you know, stick. Now you got yourself kind of a bass fiddle. And you got the jug because they finished drinking the booze.
Well, do they have more booze?
Yeah, they probably got more booze.
But probably have more than one jug.
You better believe it. But once they finished one jug, they're playing that, they're using that jug as an instrument, and they're drinking on the other one, you know.
Is it moonshine?
Probably. Probably moonshine, probably some homebrew or something. But this is where we're talking about going way back in the day, before there was television, before there was radio. It was freezing cold outside. People got together to eat, and they made their own entertainment by playing music. And that is the origin of the jug band. So you have these, I think, these three distinct areas of the jug music, the bluegrass, and country music. And by country music, by the way, I also throw into that the early blues, acoustic blues music, because it's all just acoustic, and it's kind of just from the heart. One is black, the other comes primarily from white people, you know.
Well, blues music, that's acoustic.
Blues is original blues music. But like country music, blues went into the cities, and it became electrified. They got electric guitars, electric bass, drums, and the urban environment took over. Country music, same thing happened in country music. It went into the cities. Bluegrass didn't. Jug band music didn't. These stayed rural, and these stayed really local. Now, Zydeco is an example of kind of a bluegrass that got electrified. It did get into the cities, and it did become a part of the urban cultural environment. And Zydeco music, I love it, and it's got tons of percussion. Zydeco music has lots of drums, lots of percussion, lots of tambourines, lots of bam, 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 and they use that little concertina, you know?
It's like an accordion.
It's not really, but like an accordion, yeah, but it's a little kind of concertina, a little accordion thing. And guys that are good with, you see a good Zydeco band, man, and it is so cool to watch those guys go. And, but this is music, and music has a history, and it has a story, and there are 6 million stories in the Naked City, and I'm just one of them. Thank you, Alison Krauss, and the rest of you hillbillies.
Yee-hoo!
All right, anyway. World famous Phil Henry Show. You know, we really should close out with George Jones. We'll dedicate this to George Jones.
I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, a place where I was born and bred. The place where he was born and bred.
World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, and Dan Northcraft. And don't forget to join us. We'll be back from vacation a week from Monday at 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Let that be a lesson to you.
No pleasure here.
Phil Henry.